time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
Wow, talk about sliding. That was a great job. Dave Johnson just walked into the studio. River Dave, welcome to the show. I was just getting ready to call you the late River Dave Johnson.
By the hair of my chinny chin chin.
That was great. That was really, really good. You're even out of breath. What's up with that?
I had to run up all the stairs.
I'll bring your audio down just a hair. We're going to talk about economic development here. Literally, as Joyride Auto Spa is now open in the old Car Toys location. Is that cool or what?
Yeah, I'm actually really happy that they bought that.
You and me both. For now, customers can receive the discounted hand washes at $39 and watch the company's remodel unfold. Current hours are 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. from Monday to Saturday. Man, I've seen a lot of people slide in before, but that was about as good as it gets.
Well, we were across the street at the library working the 75-foot line, and I got sidetracked with one of the voters.
Uh-huh.
And then he sent me that message, and I was like, oh.
Was that now?
Yeah.
Wow, that's funny. Hey, look, this is pretty cool from Mojave Mortgage, by the way.
Yeah, a little squeaky toy.
It's supposed to be a duck. It sounds more like a chihuahua collar.
I think it's a dog toy or something, squeaky toy.
Could be. Yeah, it's a little duck, though. But anyway, man, you really are out of breath. That's not me, folks.
I literally ran to my Suburban and ran up the stairs. And
I didn't get to ask you what kind of music you liked or anything like that. So we'll go to break, and then I'll ask you that. So
sure.
It's more of a surprise to people. This is, folks, this is the casual political mayoral interviews, okay? It's all up to you, the caller, you, the texter, and Dave Johnson here to bring up the topic. We're just going to go with the flow today, all right? And I wanted to say, I've been wanting to say about that intro for years now, probably 6 years, that Pele, it's Pele, by the way, not Pele, Pele never asked for a sub. Maybe when he was, I don't know, maybe if he broke an ankle or something like that. But anyway, I actually got to see him play.
Oh, nice.
The first pro team in Vegas was not the Vegas Golden Knights, okay, unlike what most people think. The first pro team in Las Vegas played in the North American Soccer League, and they were called the Las Vegas Quicksilvers. And they had a guy named Eusebio, who was like he was Portugal's equivalent of Cristiano Ronaldo back in the day. Okay. Mm-hmm. The New York Cosmos, see now people go, oh yeah, that was a real league. Once I see New York Cosmos, they had Pelé. They had Franz Beckenbauer. They had a number of great world-class talent. And then the LA Aztecs had a great team. So anyway, I saw the greatest play. It's the greatest at that time.
Yeah, I don't follow sports too much, to be honest with you.
You follow motorsports.
I follow motorsports.
Tell me about that. How'd you get involved?
I don't know, man. I've been a gearhead since I was a kid. You know, I raced a little bit of motocross when I was real young. Did a lot of RC car racing, which is why I'm so passionate about the new RC track down at Sarah Park and using Supercat money to develop that. But yeah, I've just always been more of a gearhead.
Tell me about that. you say there's development. Is that a new section of Sarah Park that we're not using?
Yeah, so originally we had the RC track and the channel, and then that got moved, and they partnered up with the RC airplane guys, but then they had a bit of a falling out, some political thing in the RC world. I don't really keep track of it all, but it was a guy named Marco Medina, and he stepped up and said, okay, well, we're going to get another section of Sarah Park. So they gave him 7.7 acres that he leases and insures, but the problem is the land was incredibly unusable, just natural landscape, right? So Jim McKinney is a friend of mine. He owns J&K Excavation. And so I said, Jim, why don't we go down there and see what we could do? And he ended up needing like 60-plus loads of dirt. So we put 60 loads of dirt down there, and he was down there for 2 or 3 weeks with his giant, you know, front loaders and all that, and he made it all flat now so that they're starting to build the RC tracks. And
okay.
So Supercap, when it's all said and done, Jim did about 60-something thousand in dirt work. We paid 26 for it, and then I'm giving Marco another 24,000 to get the tracks built, an ADA elevator on the control tower or driver stand, whatever you want to call it, and shade structures and all that sort of stuff.
So about 120 total put in. This is all private money?
So right now it's 50 total private money, correct?
No, I mean the total that you just said, the 24, the 80.
Well, Jim did 60,000 in dirt work, but he only charged us 26. Wow. So that was like his contribution, and then Supercat's given Marco another 24.
Right.
So they're going to build they have a dirt oval, they have a drag strip, they have an eighth scale track and a 10th scale track. And when it's all done, probably not this year. The tracks will be done. We'll have a really nice facility. But by next year, we'll have the nicest RC complex in Western Arizona.
Has all this gone? I haven't seen any of this like go through council communication or anything like that. Because it's Sarah Park we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Has all this gone through the channels in that?
Yeah. I talked to Jess, and
I haven't seen it.
They put me up with a guy named Jeff Tuneman, and you know, we asked.
Oh, right.
We asked him about permits and all that. They said as long as you don't block any of the natural washes or drainage, just do whatever you want. That's basically what they said. It's surprisingly easy to deal with the city if you know how to deal with them, you know what I mean?
That's kind of ironic hearing that from
well, it can be difficult.
I'm just saying, you know. You're currently riding a pretty good wave right now, if you didn't know, a little popularity wave,
sure.
Right? I don't think anyone would have thought in their wildest dreams that there would be such a challenge to the mayor's seat as there is now. Now, the reason I bring this up is our sheriff, Doug Schuster, he likes to say, for 3.5 years, I'm the greatest sheriff in the history of Mojave County. For 6 months, I'm the worst.
Yeah.
Are you concerned with the honeymoon being over and how quickly it might be?
No, actually quite the opposite. I'm looking forward to getting in there and making some changes. And, you know, I don't know if you can see my hat here, but what does that say?
Havasu Airlines. Interesting.
You know, taking entitlement projects like our airport and actually turning them into profit centers, making investments. You know, I met with Ryan Garland, and he ran Performas on building hangars up there and all that, and it just goes to crickets, right?
Yeah.
And so I talked to him, and, you know, the way typical cities do it is they'll donate a bunch of land out by an airport. A developer will come in, put the infrastructure, put the buildings up, and then the city will get $50 a hangar on the long-term lease, right, which is an indefinite lease.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's all said and done, you know, you make like $5 million, you know, annually or whatever it is. And so I was talking to Ryan. I says, what's wrong with the idea of the city not only putting up the land but investing with a developer so that we can actually get a portion of the rent money, right? Now instead of, you know, $50 off each hangar, you're getting, you know, $200 a month off each hangar, and your $5 million turns into like $20 million, and that is mailbox money indefinitely, right? So I'm looking forward to doing things like that. I think just being a little smarter with investments and a little more careful with the budget in terms of paying pension, we can turn this franchise around.
Why, in your opinion, or maybe you know for a fact, why hasn't an airline or airline service worked for Havasu?
Well, that's the first thing everybody says is we tried this twice and it didn't work. I'd like to point out that it was the third time that we tried it.
Oh.
Robert McCulloch did it. Would you say it worked?
Yeah, it's a pretty good starter.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So Havasu's changed dramatically since COVID. And, you know, it really depends on how you structure it and which airline you go with and what you're actually doing, right? If you look at our visitors, you know, 60-70% of them come out of California all summer long, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to run a flight, you know, two times a week, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, Monday, and run it out of, like, I don't know, John Wayne or Ontario.
Okay.
How many guests from Southern California would fly out here each weekend?
That's hard to say. I've had this conversation with people both in the station and out of the station. How much? I think the question is also, how much would you pay for a round-trip ticket to Havasu?
Right. So there's
and
two problems.
And how big is the plane?
Correct. So if you get like a, you know, a big twin turboprop deal where you're running 30 or 40 people, you know, per load, you can fly that fairly economically. And I also like to point out, I'm not saying just out of John Wayne. I'd like to run one out of Phoenix or Vegas too, mm-hmm. to a big hub so that we could actually fly international, right?
Right.
Now, that being said, you know, when we did this before, it was federally subsidized. And for a variety of, I mean, we can go through a whole novel on that. But basically, a few things changed, and some things changed at our airport. We lost the subsidy, and the airline went away, right?
Right.
If we subsidize it with the city right now, you got several different options. We can take some of our money that we're spending towards the PED or go Lake Havasu and use that, right? I'm estimating it'd be about $500,000 a year, right? So it would be, out of the 2.1 that we're spending, roughly 25% of that would get us air service here.
And you would have PED in-house.
When you bring the PED in-house. Well, mm-hmm. let me ask you a question. If we're talking to the CEO of some big corporation out of Indiana, we're trying to get their manufacturing here to Arizona, what's the first thing he says?
What kind of workforce do you have?
No, he says, how do I get there?
Oh, okay. Okay, okay.
So now you could say, hey, you know, we got a first-class ticket for you. Come on in. We'll put you up at this hotel. We'll wine dine, gotcha. You know, show you the land, introduce you around town. You can't do that right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wrote a grant for the Boys and Girls Clubs in Bullhead City, and we actually established a teen center. It was the Maytag Repairman Grant.
Sure.
$75,000. We got seed money for a teen center. The first thing they said was, how do we get there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, you got to drive 90 minutes. Yeah. Right? That was part of it.
Well, the second thing is, you know, we did I went and attended the Women's Republican Club mm-hmm. candidate forum yesterday, and they're talking about health care. And Jenny Koch, you know, she's the recruiter for the hospital and all that, and something that she said that nobody really picked up on, which I was kind of mad at two of the guys because they go to my thing every single Wednesday, she says, well, you know, the doctors, they come here, and the first thing is no airport because doctors and their spouses like to travel. They like to shop. They like to do this. So now you're kind of helping along with the health care issue here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're helping along with tourism. You're helping along with economic development. The only downside of this is the fact that it's subsidized. And it's still cheaper than what we're spending on Go Lake Havasu and PED. And I think just that in itself would be more effective than both put together right now.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the problem with subsidies is they're usually for a limited time and they go away.
It depends. If it's an investment, I mean, if it's working, right? So there's several different ways you can attract an airline. One, you could put up $1 million bond tomorrow. And Delta will start flying this month. And as soon as they become profitable, you get your money back.
Okay.
Right? So that's the bond method, or you can subsidize. I would subsidize it first, personally, because then we control it. We determine how long it goes and if it ends. If it's not working out in a year, get rid of it.
I got you. There is an air service from, well, some of the doctors, they fly in. I know there's an optical surgical team that flies in here. Once a week or something like that. They do like cataract surgeries and that,
mm-hmm.
but that's
charter.
That's not for pleasure.
No, that's charter.
And that's their own plane, right?
Yeah. So when I fly to Lake of the Ozarks or when we fly actually on Sandsport Super Show and all that, we take a King Air out of here, and to fly that plane for us to go from here to Lotto is about $35,000.
So okay, the Ozarks, you know, vacation destination, mm-hmm. right? We're talking about Branson, correct?
Now, Lake of the
Ozarks. Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah, Branson's north of that. You're talking about more like Osage Beach and Camdenton.
What's a comparable destination there that would be like Lake Havasu City? And how does their air service survive?
So the Lotto suffers from the same thing that we have, right? You fly into either, what the hell is that, Kansas City or what's the other one? We always fly into Kansas City. But it's about a three-hour drive,
okay.
and everybody hates it.
St. Louis?
Yeah, St. Okay. Louis.
All right.
So the other option is private, and then you fly into the airport that's only about 45 minutes away. Lotto's a lot it's similar but different, right? It's different because that lake is so huge and there's so mm-hmm. many arms that to get anywhere on that lake, you have to drive around an arm. So, like, for me, for you to go from here to LBR would take you like 45 minutes, right?
Okay.
Because you have to drive around all the arms. The lake is really spread out. Their facilities, like if you go to Coconuts, which is a bar restaurant over there, their marina for the bar is like as big as our marina for the for our boats. Right?
Wow.
The facilities are just huge.
Right.
But they develop so much cool stuff out there. If you've never been out there, you'll be going. They're doing an entire, like, amusement water park thing. The city's all involved in it. They do big projects with big dreams, and they're fun.
Right.
And they're all fun stuff, you know? And, like, we don't do anything like that out here.
So, in 4 years, it'll be 2030. Mm-hmm. I expect the second bridge. No, Gary, I'm not going to call it the Freedom Bridge yet until it's officially named. Gary Myers, one of our listeners, I think. Anyway, what's your vision for that after that bridge is built? What do you see as far as, I mean, somebody needs to form a vision, in my opinion. There's going to be some more either development or recreational act. What do they call that? There's a word for that type of architecture that blends in the.
Yeah, you know, for me, if I had my druthers, I'm saying, okay, Dave's king for a day. We're going to do whatever we want with the island. First off, I'd start limiting the residential out there more.
Limiting.
Uh-huh. Yes, and I would be more for, you know, if we were, I wouldn't. I'd rather keep the north side of the island preserved as it is, honestly. But if we're going to have something out there and it's going to be in the middle of the island and not on the shoreline, it should be some kind of big giant water park or something for the youth, right? And you can do a partnership with large corporations that build those.
Okay.
And that would be something that we would use, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Or you could even partner with them and maybe have them do an indoor, you know, sports complex or uh-huh. something alongside this thing. And the city can, you know, grant certain things and work with, you know, tax implications or whatever to help get them going. But, you know, I'm kind of the small town guy. I don't like, you know, I don't like all the development, even though I'm in the real estate world and everybody says that. We don't do new developments. All of our stuff's resale, you know.
Okay.
So.
How is business right now?
Booming.
Okay. How so?
We are slammed.
In which, are you talking about commercial, residential?
No, it's all, we're primarily residential. We do a little bit of commercial.
Mm-hmm.
April Cayley, the owner of the foundry down there, she actually sold the refuge, and she's done some really big commercial stuff in this town before she worked for us. But for commercial, really the only thing that we got going on that I know of, bear in mind I'm not day-to-day with our real estate team. They only call me when a problem happens and I got to go fix it, right?
Right.
But the new buildings on Kiowa, Craig Hargraves, the owner at DCB, he built those. So we're doing the leases on those, and I'd have to ask April what else we got in the commercial pipeline. But I could tell you on the residential pipeline, we have a war board, and it's got like, you know, 30 or 40 lines on it, and that thing is maxed out right now with escrows. So.
Wow, excellent. All right, our number, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. It's the first of three mayoral interviews. You don't get all three, but anyway.
We should.
There'll be one on Monday, and then one a week from this Friday. And it's their hour. We talk about whatever you want to talk about, man.
I'm easy going, man. You're the interview. You just ask me any questions, and I'll answer them.
I once had an employer that said in my evaluation that I could have a conversation with a rock. So,
yeah.
And I'm not talking about the country either.
Right.
All right. So I'm told by my trusty assistant, Marissa June, that on this date in 1977, Styx released their breakthrough album, The Grand Illusion.
Nice.
Yeah, it is nice, actually. And this is probably one of my favorite songs from that album, for sure. Man in the Wilderness. All right, 928-854-5687. If you want to talk to River Dave Johnson, he is a candidate for Lake Havasu City Mayor. You plan on dropping the river part if you're mayor?
You know, I got that name from a forum.
Go ahead.
Back in 2001. On Hopboat, I had to register a name for the forum, and I just wanted to answer a quick question. So I said, River Dan, right?
And really?
Yeah, and then I ended up, you know.
Now it's a website.
Yeah, exactly. And so many, like Jake from Eliminator, he doesn't even call me Dave, he calls me River.
Oh.
You know, like all these guys do it, so everybody just calls me River Dave, so I don't care if I keep it or ditch it, you know. But
So then if you go to state politics, you could be River Phoenix, right?
Yeah. No,
just
I'm not
kidding.
Going to state politics.
Kidding. All right, we're going to go to break. Send us a text as well, 928-727-5566. Make this talk and text radio, not just listen radio. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. A little JY from Styx. All right, little Paul McCartney and Wings, Live and Let Die. You know, it came out so long ago. Yesterday in music history is what I'm told from Marissa June. 1973, Wings released Live and Let Die. Now you have the GNR version too, right?
That's correct.
Man, are you a big concert guy?
You know, I've only been to like two or three concerts
really?
In my life. Yeah,
oh
my I went gosh. To a Neil Diamond concert.
You did?
And, yep, dude, I'm a huge Neil Diamond fan.
Really?
And I grew up listening to that stuff with my parents.
Yeah.
And my wife got me these, like, crazy cool tickets to Neil Diamond. And it's, this is an embarrassing story. But I'm sitting there. I'm at the concert, man. And I start tearing up, you know, like remembering your youth and all that. And I went to it's a big stadium in California.
Sure.
You know? And I went into the bathroom. And the security guard's there. And I was like, how much does it cost to smoke in this bathroom? He goes, you can't. I says, $100 to get it done? He goes, yeah. And so I was in there, and I was smoking a cigarette. Pretty
wow.
soon this other guy comes in,
uh-huh.
and he's kind of, like, emotional, right?
Uh-huh.
And then about, like, 20 minutes later, the whole bathroom was, like, full of dudes in there, teared up.
Smoking?
Yeah, you know, half of them were, yeah.
He made some money,
yes,
he
did, actually. Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's a weird thing.
That's
For some
fantastic.
Reason, Neil Diamond gets to me.
That is fantastic. That's a
yeah.
great story. I mean, I'm an ex-smoker, but I appreciate the story, man.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
I'm sure my haters will be like, oh, you see, Dave says the rules don't apply to him. You know,
like money buys you anything?
Yeah, I've read
whatever.
So much stuff on the internet lately. I've learned so much about myself.
So you're from SoCal, so mm-hmm. I was a big concert goer back in the day. Including the US Festival at Glen Helen Regional Park. I don't know. I'm a little bit older than you, though. So
you say Glen Helen, and I think motocross.
I've never
been to the stadium right. there, or the auditorium, I guess it would be called.
We're broadcasting live with Dave Johnson, candidate for Lake Havasu City Mayor, from the Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink, brought to you by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative. Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City, and from the mind of Dallas Finch. Man, Dallas, that was some good pizza, by the way. Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo. Dallas brought us the Pineapple Peep Show yesterday. What a great pizza, man.
I love that guy's names for everything.
Green onions, Canadian bacon, I'm not sure which kind of cheese or whatever. The sauce was phenomenal, and pineapple, of course. And it was a really good pizza.
I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't start incorporating some of that, like, candied bacon that he makes over at his other place, you know, onto the pizzas.
Yeah.
You should do that. Dallas, if you're listening, you should do that. That would be good.
The chair pizza. Perfect. All right, great sandwiches, pizza, and salads, home to the Booby Dropper, Main Street, Lake Havasu. And check out our archives, again, at kntrtalk.com. Getting a lot of comments about the Andy Biggs interview that we did on Monday.
I haven't had time to listen to it. I just haven't had time, man. We have been working, campaigning. Do you know that tonight at the Founder will be, I believe it's our 26th or 27th meet and greet?
Holy moly.
Yeah, we do one every week, and that's on top of other speaking engagements, and on top of working the 75-foot line. And
that's shaking a lot of hands, and I'm kind of a germaphobe in a way with that. Any temporary sickness, colds, something like that you've contracted on the campaign trail?
No, not really.
Not yet?
You know, if you listen to all the haters again, all the alcohol kills it.
Oh, man.
at least you can say I got a sense of humor, but no, the reality of it is, you know, I don't really... When you shake hands and do all that stuff, you don't put your hands in your mouth. You don't get sick, right? You wash your hands every now and again.
So I want to ask every candidate and about social media, your involvement with social media.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about social media, and how does it affect your campaign?
You know, I think that social media is going to play a huge part in this election. I actually think it's won or lost on social media, right? That being said, there is a small group of people that are the loudest, and they're basically the detractors, right?
The hijackers.
Uh-huh. And you know, they could say that they don't like me for, you know, maybe I'm too far right or too Trump right. But it's amazing. There's a little experiment that some of my friends did that they turned off like four or five of the loudest voices, right?
Oh, really?
And not only did they go away, but all the anonymous accounts went away too, because it's the same people posting under multiple accounts. To make it look larger than it is.
Whoa.
Yeah,
no
it's
kidding.
Bizarre. But overall, you know, I will say, out of all the candidates, I'm really the only one that I have gone through and I have answered every single thing. If I've seen it, I've answered it, right? Good, bad, or indifferent, I'll always give you an answer. And now the other two haven't really done anything on social media. I think Cal made one post that I saw, and the other guy, you know, I'm not going to say anything bad, but, you know, Kimmy's pretty loud, but he's pretty quiet.
Do you ever feel like sometimes, though, why did I even pick my phone up today?
Yeah, you know, I run an internet forum, man. The internet forum, so like my website, we have 600,000 to 700,000 people go through it every month, right?
But that's not for...
No, I'm saying just my business in general. Right. So when it comes to the social media and the haters and the attacks, it doesn't faze me because I've had it for, you know, 20 years.
Right.
And, you know, I've dealt with... There's nothing somebody's going to say online that's going to bother me.
So you have a thick skin for politics then.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all.
Right. Yeah. Did you ever think in a million years when you first got to Havasu, what, 6 years ago, 7 years ago? To live.
16 years ago.
16 years? I thought you told me 6 or 7.
No, 2011.
2011. Okay, back in 2011, did you think that you would ever be running for mayor?
If you asked me this question 8 months ago, I wouldn't have thought it.
Really?
I'm not a politician, man.
So what was the turning point?
You know, I had somebody special to me ask me a question. And, you know, I moved here in 2011. I've been coming out here my entire life. And this is my favorite place on earth. And so for 16 years, you know, if you would have said, hey, Dave, you know, would you consider leaving? I'd say, no, I'm dying here. This is my spot, right? And somebody asked me a question at a GOP meeting. They invited me to go to a GOP deal, lunch. And I just figured they were there to ask for, you know, donations or something. And and I got to talking to them, and they were like, you know, have you ever considered politics? And I was like, no, you got the wrong guy. And somebody asked me, she basically said, you know, will you be here in 10 years? And I said, I don't know. And that's the first thought. It really got me thinking, you know, and I thought about that all night, you know. And then she asked me as well. She goes, do you think your kids will grow up and continue to live here? And I said, no, I don't think they will. And the final thought process of that was, well, you can do something about it. And I said, okay, you know. And so I thought about it for a couple of weeks, and I said, you know, I'm pretty good at fixing stuff, and I see the deficiencies of what's going on in the town and the problems that I think we have, and I don't think that they're impossible to solve.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you a question about the what you were talking about across the street. What, you know, you've got a easy up setup, you were telling me, with high pressure misters. And that.
Yeah, so
I need to vet this question that came in via text before I read it. And yeah, what were you talking to the voters about over there?
You know, so we're talking about all kinds of things. They're talking about, you know, ironically enough, infrastructure, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're allowed to work the 75-foot line. That's, you know, 75 feet away from where the actual polls are being done. And so we have an easy up out there, and, you know, just give you an idea of work ethic. We're out there every single day from 10 to 4 usually. But it's been so hot the last couple of days, it's just been miserable even under the easy up. So I went and bought a 275-gallon tote. I called my buddy Jeff over at London Fog, and, you know, he basically built a 1,000 PSI high-pressure misting system for an easy up. So it drops the temperatures like 20 degrees. And then, you know, my sign truck's got a big 7,500-watt generator on it and Wi-Fi and all that stuff. So we have enough power to power the high-pressure misters. We have Wi-Fi. Now it's, you know, we actually built a nice little kind of infrastructure over there to relax all day and not die out in the heat.
So we did get a question on our text line. Actually, we have two questions. I need to read the other one now, too. 928-727-5566. It says, Dave, you seem to be very publicly outgoing, so much so that some of the exposure must be a bit embarrassing sometimes. Namely, the video that has made its rounds on Facebook where you were obviously drunk and cursing.
Sure.
On top of that, the article in the paper showing that within the last 5 years, you not only were cited for violations of the noise ordinance, but more recently in 2023, you were arrested for speeding and fleeing the police. I'm not going to read the last part because it's an opinion, but give me your answer or your response to that.
Well, hit them one by one. So let's talk about that video. That video was election night 2020, right? And that was a pretty passionate night, I would say, for everybody. Anyhow, they stopped counting votes, and we kept drinking beers, and about 2:33 in the morning, there was a news report coming in out of Detroit about a red Ferrari and some white box vans dropping off hundreds of thousands of ballots after the time had expired. And this news report came out, and I was infuriated, right? Mm-hmm. And they were making some allegation that it was some local mobster doing it. And so I was sitting there, and I made this stupid video. It was incredibly stupid, right?
I remember hearing that you had just become passionately involved in politics, too.
No, I've been. I've always been about presidential and national politics.
But you got very passionate.
Yeah, it was. It was very. You know.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, you know, here's me. I'm hammered out of my gourd, which, you know, welcome to Havasu. Half the town's hammered out of their gourds every weekend, right? There's a reason why our Smith's is the number one beer sales in the entire country.
Wow.
I don't know if you know that or
not. No, I did not.
It is. Wow. Our little rural town in Arizona actually beats out big cities when it comes to beer sales.
Wow. That's even Boston, huh?
Yep.
That's
true.
World Cup joke.
Anyhow, well, yeah, maybe not during the World Cup. But Scott is over there. But anyhow, so I made that video. I went to bed, and about an hour later, I said, you know, that was just dumb. And so I woke up an hour and a half later, and I deleted it, right? Well, there's one guy out there that I banned off my website who just absolutely hates me, and he's like a stalker. I'm not going to bring up his name. But he screen recorded that with his phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's been saving it for 6 years waiting to use it for something, right? Well, he finally got to use it for something.
Wow.
And so he sent that out to everybody. And, you know, if I really wanted to be ruthless, good, bad, or indifferent, content's content. And as you know about copyright law, they're not allowed to do that. So theoretically, you know, I'm not that guy, though. So as far as the second thing is concerned, the noise ordinance, that was an after party at Desert Storm. It was being held at Detail Specialties. I was not the host of the party. I was the largest sponsor of the party.
Mm-hmm.
That ticket technically should have gone to Chris. Chris was off doing something else. The cops showed up, and I said, you know, what's going on? They said, it's a noise ticket. So I just took the tickets, $175. Who cares, right?
Okay.
Party continues. The third thing, this is going to be a great one for you and the listeners. And this is why I have such an issue with this paper, because I'm going to get right down to that.
Something I don't know about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I had probably the first or second speed UTV in Lake Havasu.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie's a friend of mine. I was one of the first to put a deposit
Robbie
on
Gordon.
It. Robbie Gordon. Robbie Gordon, yes. So I get my car, like, literally, I mean, almost years before other people got them, right? So
sure. This
thing's like a unicorn. Most people have never seen one before, right? So I took delivery of mine. Everybody wants to drive this goddamn thing. We went up to...
Easy now.
Yeah. We went up to the flats. I don't know how many locals know where that is, but if you go up Bison, you go all the way out there. There's a big flat area where people have big bonfires and parties and all this stuff, right? I didn't drive the car leaving my house. I never drove the car at all. I have this on video, right? And this newspaper, I don't even understand what the hell they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody drove the car, right? Nine people drove the car that night. We're up at a bonfire having beers, having a great time.
Right.
Nine different guys drove the car. One of them went down the hill to go get more booze or beers or whatever the heck they were going to do.
Uh-huh.
They get, you know, pulled over. They take off. They go out in the desert. They come back to the bonfire. Dave, we had a problem. What's the problem? Well, this is what happened. I said, well, it is what it is now. You know, so I say, take the car, go stash the car somewhere, because the first thing that happens, you know what the cops do? They're going to come and take the car.
Sure.
I'm not going to, you know, I wasn't driving the car. I'm not losing my car over this, right?
Yeah.
They're not impounding nothing. So I go, they stash it, right, in a place out in Donkey Acres. I go home, different vehicle, don't care, whatever. They come banging on my garage door at 8 in the morning. Who was driving the car? I said, well, that's the question. It wasn't me, right? Here's the video. I wasn't driving the car when it left. I wasn't even in the car when it happened.
Mm.
Their description was white male, brown hair, wearing glasses.
Well, you barely have the brown hair part.
I wear a hat everywhere. I don't wear glasses, you know, unless they're cheaters.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's
right,
not
right.
Me, right? And I tell them, I say, here's the video, man. I wasn't even driving the car when I left. The newspaper hits me up about this. I say, look, you're trying to try something in the court of public opinion when it was never even tried in a court of law. I said, this is insane. This isn't journalism.
Is that the one that was dismissed by the county attorney?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
If you guys, if anybody ever wants to see it, I will show you the letter for dismissal. Like, six of my rights were violated. It described 86% of the population of Lake Havasu. I mean, the whole thing was nuts, right?
Right.
So they toss it because it was no big deal. The newspaper asked me for a comment. I said, look, it never went to court. It never did this. I wasn't even in the car. I said, I'm happy to show you the videos from my house cam showing you I was driving the car. I said, off the record, if you guys want to get really into it, I'll give you nine different guys that say I wasn't even in the car.
Well,
and they still ran that story.
And then it hits public opinion.
Yeah, and so here's your public opinion on something that's not even true.
That's a great explanation.
Well,
all right.
It's borderline defamation is what it is. It's getting very dangerously close to that, and I hope that newspaper realizes that.
Okay.
We have lawyers.
All right. More than a feeling, I know you're a classic rock fan, classic country fan, so All right. Well, you get a fair shake here, right?
I feel like you've actually been very fair, yes.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Probably the most fair.
Oh, wow. Now, folks, he's buttering me up. There you go. So,
wasn't that part
I'm
of the
kidding.
Gig? That's part of the gig.
No, it's not part of the gig. River Dave Johnson, our guest, candidate for Lake Havasu City Mayor, and we'll be back with more in a moment. I want to talk about bonds, financing with bonds. If it's a good idea, if it's a bad idea, how you feel about that. All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out, 928-854-5687, or you can text us at 928-727-5566. This is the last time on before the election, the primary election, folks, so give us a call or send us a text. We're right here waiting for you. Right, we're rocking out with some Aerosmith, Sweet Emotion, with River Dave Johnson, candidate for Lake Havasu City Mayor. Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, also by Mojave College, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place for Pets, Legacy Rehab and Care, and A&B Propane, online at abpropaneaz.com. And I wanted to talk about bonding. You know, not bonding out of jail or anything, paying for projects.
You
with
could have said bonding with friends.
Yeah. Well, here we are. We're bonding right now.
Sure.
So, no, paying for projects with bond money or development, mm-hmm. You know, development with bond money. How do you feel about that?
It depends on the project, you know what I mean? So Mark Neck said, you know, they did a $300 million bond to do all of our sewers and all that. And so
was that the right thing to do?
According to the citizens, it is, because they voted for it. You know, when you go out on a bond, you got to get it pass through the citizens. So, you know, absolutely. In that case, I think it is the right thing to do, especially with our sewer system. And now we have sewer capacity, you know, up to 100 plus thousand people. So that's investing in the future, right? You don't necessarily need to bond. Like, our infrastructure is aging right now. But if you really line item the budget, I believe that we don't need to bond or anything. Like, we don't even need to raise taxes. We just need to stop spending crazy money on things. So let me ask you, this is kind of the same subject that I had with Ryan Garland the other day. Obviously, you're familiar with the idea of a swimming pool, right?
The second pool?
No, I'm just talking about a pool for your house.
A swimming pool.
Sure.
A little bit.
Okay. What if I told you I spent $1 million on my backyard? What would you think that would look like?
You know, I don't know. I honestly
Would look like a resort.
Okay.
I mean, you'd have fire pits, misters, lazy river, right? This is $1 million at a huge backyard, right?
I didn't picture that much, but okay.
Well, that's about what $1 million backyard looks like.
Uh-huh.
Why does a Olympic-sized pool cost $4 million?
Yeah, good question. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. The way everything's run right now is this comes up, everybody says yes or no. Nobody asks why. Why is it Bullhead puts in a stoplight at $700,000? We put in a stoplight at Jamaica, it's $1.4 million.
That's twice the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan Garland, Paradigm, doing Paradigm Flats over here. Do you know what their budget for their stoplight is?
No.
$650,000.
So where's the extra money going?
I wish I would have brought my change order hat.
Permitting or?
No, it's change orders.
Change orders.
No matter what we build. So what's happening right now is you get a... Something goes out to bid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else will submit a bid, but the entire scope of work won't be on the bid. It'll just say, oh, you know, we're here to build the pool. It's this much money, right? And it won't be $4 million. By the time they're done building this thing, it'll end up being $6 or $7 million. The same thing that happened in the Commons. Commons was originally started out supposed to be a $1 million program.
Mm-hmm.
It's finishing out. It's just under $5 million, $4.7 million. The courthouse was acquired for $3.8 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Figure what in TIs, you know, tenant improvements, $2-3 million max, right?
Right.
No. It's over 10. How do you spend almost $12 million when you actually factor in the fact that they hid half the money in the supplies? How do you spend $12 million on that building? It's unbelievable, right? So we are literally flushing a lot of money a way that I think if somebody line-itemed budgets, and then if you really went in and had a lot of oversight on the bid process to make sure that the entire scope of work is included in the bid, you're always going to have some change orders.
Right.
But the change orders shouldn't add 300 to 500% on the initial bid.
Got a couple more questions.
Sure.
And we're down to about 5, maybe 6 minutes. Dave, this is from the text line. Dave seems like a numbers guy. What does he think about the city's final budget?
I don't know how you call that a balanced budget. I mean, technically, yeah. Legally, all budgets have to balance, you know, mm-hmm. in city government. But when you have $303 million, right, and you, well, 35 of that's for the bridge, so I do want to be fair about that. Mm-hmm. When you have almost 500 miles of road in Lake Havasu, it's $1 million a mile to repave. Now, we're going to do some simple math here. You have to maintain that road every 10 years and replace it every 20. So every 20 years, you are going to scrape and replace. That's $1 million. So you do simple math. 500 divided by 20 is 25.
Okay.
So what should your annual budget be just to maintain the roads? $25 million. This is simple math on a simple schedule, and this is just basic, right? Do you know what the
does
amount?
That include infrastructure breaks and
no,
like
that's
we're getting
now? That's a separate budget.
Yeah.
Right, which
okay.
I'm going to get to that in 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, just to maintain everything that we have should be right around $22 million a year, right? 2027, do you know how much money they put in there for the roads?
I don't.
$2
million. Oh, okay.
Right?
Wow.
So then you get to the water mains, right? Water mains are kind of a similar deal, right? Do you know how much money they threw in for the water mains?
I don't.
$3.5 million. Less than the roads themselves is like 0.92%. Normal municipalities, I invite all the listeners, get your phone out, go to Google, say what does a normal city of, say, 60,000 people
right.
spend? What percentage of their entire budget do they spend? It is 5 to 20% of the total budget. We spent less than 1%.
Wow. Okay, another question from the text line. And thank you, by the way, folks, for texting in your questions. We really appreciate it. Does Dave feel we should put a cap on short-term rentals, just like I agree with him, we should stop selling waterfront property?
So cap, you know, the STR thing, after COVID, it exploded. And we did it, you know, in full transparency. We own a real estate company. Some of those houses we sold turned into STRs. And some of those STRs paid themselves off in 3 or 4 years. I mean, that's crazy, right?
Wow, that is.
But the way you saw, you know, STRs after COVID exploded, literally half of the ones that were sold are now back to single family homes. Capitalism works. Things ebb and flow. When the market got saturated, they sold and went back to single family homes. Now, one of the things as far as STRs are concerned that the public, and myself included, care about mm-hmm. is there is constant problem houses, as in some guy will own a house, and this is just always a party house. For whatever reason, it's attracting these kind of people that are just completely disruptive, and they're ruining a neighborhood, right?
I got you.
So the city did take some steps on that. We have to have a local contact now. After, you know, I think 2 warnings, they get like some sort of little punitive fine.
Mm-hmm.
The way you get rid of the problem houses, look at it for what it is. What is it? It's a profit center, right? So if you get 2 warnings and then the third time, make it a real punitive effort. Fine them like $1,000. Because then if the owner is getting fined $1,000 and he's losing all the profit out of the weekend, he's going to make sure that doesn't happen anymore.
Are we allowed to do that by law?
Yes.
Okay, we are allowed.
We already have punitive. It's just not harsh enough.
I got you. We got about a minute left. Tell everybody, since this is your last time on before the primary, why should people vote for Dave Johnson for mayor of Lake Havasu City?
Well, you know, if you look at the history of our city here, we have a really, really horrible track record of what's called deferred maintenance. And somebody's got to grab the reins on this thing and start fixing our roads, fixing our water mains, and doing all these things. And I think if we sit down and really line out of the budget, if Sam, Michelle, Lynn, and Neil get on, I can promise you, you're going to see a change of direction of the city, and it's going to go back to the way it was before 8 years ago. We're going to make Havasu Havasu again. In 2011, when I moved here, third poorest county in the nation, we had like a budget that was right around $100 million. All the streets were paved. All the trees were trimmed. How can we do that with that little money? 10 years ago, it was $130 million. Now it's $303 million. $170 million. Do you think things got better? Honestly, do you?
Do I?
Do you feel like the infrastructure of the town is as good as it was 10 years ago?
I.
Yikes. Can't answer that because you're the host.
I can't because I haven't been here consistently since 2007.
Everybody listening here knows. The answer is obvious. No, it has not. That town has not gotten better for an extra $170 million. And somehow we have less money now than we had then. It's gross mismanagement of funds.
Okay. We got to take this one to break or we're going to be going over. So anyway, little classic Doobies going out.
Whatever you want. You're the DJ.
No, I'm not a DJ. I'm a news person. I'm a talk host. I'm a talk jockey. That's what my old band called me. So, Dave Johnson, thanks for being here.
You're very welcome. Sorry I was late.
You really weren't. You were right on time.
I slid in.
Man, I've never seen anyone slide in like that before. But if I had to do it with instant replay, he'd be safe, right? So, thanks for being here. We appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Back with more in a moment. Actually, I think I'll take this right up to the top of the hour. What do you think, Marissa June? She's like, it's your show, man. No, it's Steve's show. All right. Back with more tomorrow on Speak Out. Guess who's going to be here? District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould. Hey, I know because it's Thursday, man. I know that. All right. Back with more tomorrow. And Sean Hannity coming on, after news and a short break, it's Karate Man. So we'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out.
Hi, this is Dorita from Dorita's Place in Havasu. My awesome staff have been committed to helping your pet since 2006 with our all-natural, high-quality pet food products. Did you know Dorita's carries fresh frozen, like home-cooked meals? Pets are devouring it, just like people food, but they have all the required nutrients that pets need to live their best life. Come see us. Check it out. Corner of Capri and Mesquite. We're Dorita's Place for Pets.
At Trane, tough comes standard. But real strength isn't just muscle. It's knowing when to flex. HVAC units tough enough for the extremes, but smart enough to know what's next. Built with advanced connectivity for faster feedback and less guesswork. Engineered not just to perform, but to anticipate. We engineer for chaos. So your home always feels comfortable. It's hard to stop a Trane.
Let Mercury Air be your brawn and brains. Mercury Air and Heating.
Celebrate 250 years of American freedom with the kind of hometown spirit that built this country. At Annie's Thrift Store, weekly massive prize drawings, special discounts, exciting giveaways, and thousands of one-of-a-kind treasures waiting to be discovered. Every purchase at Annie's helps support local charities right here in our community. So celebrate freedom, celebrate giving back, and celebrate finding your next great treasure. Annie's Thrift Store on Northern Avenue in Kingman, where every bargain makes a difference.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.